Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And our phone number is 855-853-4802. If you'd like to share your real ghost story with us, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email Jenny your audio file. If you're sending it from an area where maybe dialing is going to be rather expensive because long distance still exists for overseas calls, depending on your carrier, you can just email that to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. There you go. Welcome, no matter what platform you're listening on. Lots of them these days. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. That's what we always used to say. But now there's like iHeartRadio. And a gazillion other ones.
Spotify.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know anymore. It's funny because once in a while, like somebody will say, "Hey, I listen to you on whatnot," and you know, Spotify and iHeart and those and iTunes, those are common. But sometimes there's one where I'm like, "You're listening to us on what?" And it's some weird. It's like you know, cat call radio or something. You know, it's like,
right.
What the hell is that? But
yeah.
But any sort of podcast integrated feed can take the show, so we're all over the place. Anywho, I was sitting here in the studio right before you came down, and I was looking out the window, and there's these trees right out there, and hummingbirds love them. It's like we were talking about getting a hummingbird feeder. We don't even need one. I mean, the trees, I think, are it's like much more appetizing than a feeder. That's like. That's like the 5-star restaurant for them right there. The feeder would be like McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
they're happy with that. But those are little asshole birds.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. They hate each other.
Really?
They're hateful little birds.
Towards each other.
Yes.
Not towards you.
No, not towards
okay.
me. They were like coming up to the window and taunting me and giving me the beak. They were, there was like one sitting on the flower. And then this other one would just swoop down like going directly at it like, full speed ahead with its, you know, pointy little sliver.
Like it's going to stab.
Like it's going to stab the other bird.
Wow.
And then the other one is like, and they move so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they must be processing shit 100 times faster. They're like birds on cocaine or something,
okay.
You know. And they're just, but they just went, they missed each other by a hair, but I'm sure to them it wasn't. It was like, mm-hmm. You got away. But then the one comes back, sits on the flower again, and then the other asshole bird comes flying down again, trying to knock it off. I don't know what they're doing, like American Gladiator shit, or what what exactly their purpose here is. But, I mean, there's plenty of flowers out there for them to share, but...
Oh, they're like children. There's only one toy, and they both have to have it at the same time.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I had heard... something about them being like aggressive
mm-hmm.
in the past, and I was like in passing or something. When I mentioned we had some hummingbirds, and I was like, "Oh, it's interesting. They seem like peaceful little things."
Mm-hmm.
No, I got to witness it. They hate each other. They are
wow.
hateful little winged things.
Okay,
there you go.
I take back all my things of I don't know how guilty I would feel if I
ate a hummingbird.
Not much meat though, so no. And good luck catching one of those things, because I could see it going after the person too. Mm-hmm. If it felt threatened. I wonder if anyone's ever been attacked by hummingbirds. Like a
probably.
Human being. That would be interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Chris in New York. Hi.
What's going on, Brewskis? Chris from Brooklyn. Again, I'm so happy that to hear my story on a recent episode of the podcast. It was actually on the bottom bunk episode. I was the guy telling you about my brief stigmata encounter, or rabies, as Tony would like to call it. I'm actually just going to tell you a quick little story of something that happened around that same time, of the whole living in that house. It's a Ouija board story, actually. It was me and my good friend Mike. We used to play with a Ouija board. He used to live in an apartment building, and we would sit outside of his apartment in the hallway playing this Ouija board. And we came into contact with this one particular spirit. Well, at first, the spirit gave us a normal name. He told us his name was Adam Green. And at first, everything was normal, you know, normal conversations, stupid, silly questions, everything was fine. And then I believe it was maybe the second or third time we spoke to this supposed Adam Green character, and all of a sudden it just like it completely changed, like the whole demeanor, the whole atmosphere around us, like it just the whole feeling of this was just negative. It was he gave us a name. I mean, it's not really considered a demonic name, but I just refuse to say it because it's bad things happened when we would contact a particular spirit. And there was this one actually crazy experience when, you know, we were playing around with the Ouija board. We were talking to this quote-unquote Adam Green guy. All was going well, nothing crazy. You know, it was saying some awful things and evil things and everything, you know. We closed the circle and went on with the day. So that very night, I actually had a very, very crazy dream. It was quick, but in my dream, I was in the apartment of my friend Mike's house, and it was just very quick. It was just kind of like flew over. Like I was in the apartment, I flew over, I saw everybody sitting there, and that was it. And then I woke up. The next day, I called my friend Mike, telling him about my crazy story, the dream I had. I'm telling him my dream, and he literally finished off what I was saying, because he was telling me that he was sitting in the living room with his parents, and all of a sudden they all see this kind of like this white shadow just kind of appear in the corner and fly across the room. It was like almost, I guess, like I was seen from the point of view of the spirit or the ghost or whatever it was. It was kind of crazy. Like the spirit Adam Green, I'll keep calling him. It was just like bad things happen. Like we actually almost think that he may have probably ended his uncle's life. It's kind of a crazy story, because the time we were playing around with this Ouija board and this particular the spirit Adam, like it just things just started going horribly wrong. His uncle got sick. It was a mess, and it was again probably the same time playing around with the Ouija board. We actually seen a raven. I believe the raven would landed was like right on the fire escape of where his uncle lived. And it was no more than a couple of days later that he was gone. And it was just the connection was just kind of very strange how it all played out, that once, every time we would talk to this particular spirit, things would just go horribly, horribly wrong, and it was just a bad scene. I'm gonna tell you guys the stigmata story next, I promise. It's very quick. I know I played it off like it's not a big deal, because it was such a quick thing, and I experienced it, and it kind of moved on. Thanks, guys. Hope to hear this soon.
You better tell us that stigmata story.
So now we still wait.
Yep. Okay.
We wait even longer.
Well,
that's what happens when you get the rabies. It really, it messes with your judgment on what to share first. It's interesting that all that stuff happened with his uncle when they were doing the Ouija on awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We have had stories like that before where essentially people completely uninvolved end up getting the consequences of others' actions
Yeah.
with this stuff. So, one more little note to add to your list of Ouija awareness and what it can possibly do. Mm-hmm. While it may not harm you, it may harm those around you.
Right.
The more you know.
Don't. Do, 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 do. I knew that was coming. You need to get that actual sound and use it.
Okay. Stand by. Let's see here. Dun, 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 dun. If I can just find it, because I don't know if they do it. And I know they don't do it anymore. So let's see if we can find it.
So does that mean it's fair game to use?
Not technically.
Oh.
In fact, you know what? I don't want to use it because I have used it in the past. And then it got flagged on YouTube as like using copywritten material, which it technically is.
Okay.
So I'll just make my version of it. Do-do-do-do. And just picture Ross from Friends giving that message.
Okay.
There you go. It's the 90s all over again. Mm-hmm. Ross from Friends giving warnings about Ouija boards right before they get into a brand new episode. Let's go over to standby. Let's do Margaret in North Carolina. Hear your story. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Margaret, and I'm calling you from North Carolina. And the story that I would like to share with you today, it actually does not take place in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina, where I live. It takes place in Scotland, in Edinburgh, Scotland. My now husband and I, about 4 months ago, we got married, and we decided that for our honeymoon, we would like to have a 2 week long trip to Europe. So we had 1 week in Italy, and 1 week in Scotland, spent mostly in Edinburgh, but we also went up to the Isle of Skye. So the story I'm going to tell you is in Edinburgh. We were looking for a place to stay in Edinburgh, and we know it's a super historical city, it's a lot of cool stuff. We were looking for an apartment that we could stay in that would be, you know, modern, but would be also in a historical space, just for the fun of it. So with the help of my aunt, who works for a national hotel chain, she's really good at finding lodging, we located a fabulous little apartment off of Queen Street in Edinburgh, and it was a bottom floor apartment of a stacked, you know, the typical row, it looks like a row house, you know, with the three or four stacked apartments, as they would have in England and Scotland. And so we were like, wow, this is a great deal. It's got really nice bedroom, bathroom, small kitchen, and huge living room, complete with a chandelier and floor-to-ceiling windows and brocaded cushions and a fresco on the wall. It was just a great-looking spot. And again, it was right in the heart of Edinburgh. So we booked it. We're like, this is awesome. Now, I had been listening to your show for a couple months before this, and I was aware that we were, you know, this is an apartment, keep in mind, this is an apartment complex that dates back to the 17th and 18th century. So I'm thinking, maybe something will happen here, maybe it won't, hopefully it won't. So I kind of went into it with that mindset of, something might happen, but we'll see. So we arrive at our apartment. And at first, we did not know that we were the lower level apartment, meaning you walked in, there was a staircase straight ahead that spiraled up to the upper two apartments upstairs, and then there was a door on the right. We did not know that the door immediately on our right at the bottom of the staircase was the door to our apartment. We were looking for the right one. We mistakenly went upstairs to check out and see if those two were the ones that our key matched with. And we, right after we turned the stairs, I got this really creepy, ominous sort of vibe. I don't know. I am an empath. I can pick up on things in environments. I can read between the lines when I'm talking to people. So this is nothing new. I mean, I actually toured Europe last year and did 3 concentration camps in a week. And if you're an empath, that's not a good idea. It's just too intense. So anyway, back to the staircase at the apartment with the creepy vibe. So I was kind of a little bit uneasy, and we checked our key and looked. Nope, that's not ours. And so we continued back downstairs thinking that that first room downstairs must be ours. And of course it was. And I was very relieved that it was not one of those two rooms upstairs, because it just gave me this kind of an odd feeling. So we check in. Awesome, awesome apartment. Gorgeous. The landlord who rents it came by and, you know, gave us a lay of the land, told us what kind of restaurants we should check out. And he also gave us a discount because we were on our honeymoon, which we're like, this is awesome. Now, really the incidents I'm going to tell you about, they're not really that scary, but they were just enough to make me kind of pause and go, So the first incident, one evening I had taken a shower, and so the shower room, the bathroom, is just off of the bedroom. So if you're in the bedroom and you're sitting on the bed, you can look straight ahead and there is the door that leads to the bathroom. There was a shower in the bathroom that was glass-sided, and so you could see right through to the shower head and the lever to turn the water on. So I just finished taking a shower, turned off the water, and I come back into the bedroom, and I was sitting on the bed, I was combing my hair, and I think my husband was doing something in the closet at the time, but I was sitting on the bed, and all of a sudden I hear water turn on, and of course instinctively I look up in the bathroom, and I see some water, and there in the shower is nothing. But the water was turned on. The lever was out. Water was coming from the shower. So I was very perplexed about this. And I look at my husband and he looks at the water and is like, what? And he said, didn't you just take a shower? I said, yes, I turned it off. And he said, I believe you. I guess it just might have just, you know, come back and, you know, turned on the water. And I said, well, no, look at it. The handle is sticking out. There is no way. So I kind of scurry in and turn off the shower really quick. And kind of scared me a little bit. So that kind of shook me up. The next morning, we're laying in bed in the morning. We had woken up. And so remember that there is an apartment above us, and the bedroom where we are is directly under the apartment that's above us. So we wake up and we hear distinct, loud creakings, walking, like someone is stepping. You know the sound when someone's stepping. You can totally tell if it's a person stepping. So I look at my husband, he looks at me, and we're kind of like, well, someone must be upstairs. Well, the only problem with that, we thought, oh, it's someone preparing those rooms for to be occupied. But we would have heard them come back down the stairs, because the stairwell ended right by our door, and you'd have to walk past on the floor past our door. So we would have heard if they, you know, came back down from up in the apartment. Well, we didn't ever hear any footsteps outside our door. We just heard them upstairs and they stopped. So that was a little odd. The next morning, we wake up and again, we hear the creaking, walking noises. And I look at my husband and he says, and I'm like, what is this? He says, I think it's a person, a very, very old person. Of course, I punch him immediately. I'm like, stop, don't say that. That kind of reminded me something that Tony might say to Jenny. So that kind of made me laugh. But that's, our relationship is similar. So so I was a little bit creeped out by that. Also, I did not like to go to sleep with the door that led to the hallway. So from our bedroom, you open a door and it leads you down a corridor. That the kitchen is then on your left, and after that, that big sitting room is on your left. So there's a hallway connecting all three of those. And I did not like sleeping with that door open for some reason. Normally, I do not care about such things, but for some reason, I just did not like that idea of sleeping with that door open. The only other thing that happened that was kind of strange was that I had a hairbrush, and I set it down on the bedside table. We went out to dinner that night, actually watched an American movie in Scotland, which was fun. We came back, and I was getting ready for bed, and my hairbrush wasn't in the same spot. Now, of course, my instinct was, oh, you just misplaced it. You just, you know, forgot and put it somewhere where you didn't think it was. Well, I never found it, and I ended up having to buy another one because girls got to brush your hair. So I actually didn't even consider that paranormal until I started thinking back on it, and I'm like, I know I put that there. I know it was not there when I came back. So that was a little bit interesting, and I only realized it when I was thinking back on it, like, oh, that might, somebody might have needed that. So anyway, but I actually, so that's kind of the end of the experiences. But we also went, and a side note, if you are in Edinburgh or if you ever go to Edinburgh, you must go to the Mary King's Close. And we did that on one of our trips, and it is really creepy. Oh my goodness. We were both very creeped out by it. It's basically, so back in the Middle Ages, they had these little spaces between buildings that were like alleys, and over time, you know, as the city grew, they would build on top of them and build on top of them, and normally they would stay open to the sky, but these original, you know, pre-medieval or medieval era places would be closed off. So it's this little tiny maze-ish place that gave me the creeps as an empath. So anyway, you should definitely check out that. So anyway, that's my story. We had a great time. It was not negative. It was just enough to make me go, I stayed in a haunted apartment on my honeymoon. That's pretty cool. So thanks for the show, guys. You make my work day a whole lot easier. And I will call back in. I have some other stories that I will share as well. Thanks, guys. Bye.
You know, the way that we find they turn the shower on or they turn a faucet on or something, it's almost like they muster enough energy to do that, and then they're using that, you know, conduit to have more energy.
Sure. I think the smart ones realize that that's what you can do.
Yeah.
And it probably just takes some experience and learning how to essentially... It's like anything.
It's like if I can just turn this on, oh, now I can just really mess with stuff.
It's like wishing for more wishes.
Yeah.
And then you have the energy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, you know, eating a balanced diet. Then you have energy.
Right.
You know, it's essentially just a different sort of diet. Showers and electrical equipment.
Okay.
When you're a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a lovely honeymoon.
I think I would be so freaked out. It would be not the best honeymoon.
Now, keep in mind, we did go and visit the Museum of the Titanic.
Yeah, we did.
During ours. And it was a bonus tragic museum because it also had the, which I was unaware of because they don't teach it very well in American history class. And they should because it's right the Halifax disaster,
mm-hmm.
which was horrible.
Yeah.
Just horrible. Where, if you're not familiar, a ship blew up, and this was what, you know, the year and all at all?
I can find it out real quick.
It was a while ago, and it was essentially kind of like a small nuclear bomb going off, and it was a ship loaded with munitions, and it just wiped out half of the city. And so anyway, what I was getting at is we did go to some places that weren't, I guess, you know, as a lot of people would put as like, super romantic or what you think of for a honeymoon, but we enjoy the history of these things.
1917.
Okay, so
yeah,
about 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, but did you, was there any place on our honeymoon where you were like, that's kind of creepy, or you had like a weird vibe or anything of that nature? I'd say that was probably the darkest thing was the museum as far as what we saw and learned about and was
that was,
were around.
Yeah, we were at the Maritime Museum.
Yeah,
up there. Not really. I mean, it was kind of emotional to see some of those artifacts, but
sure.
I didn't get the willies or creeped out or anything from any place.
No. You get more creeped out at the Titanic Museum here in Branson than you do?
I do.
Did you the other day? Because this is, well, we've done shows since we've been there recently, but we haven't talked about it. We were at the Titanic Museum again. It was our second trip there when my parents were in town a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a chance to go through and see it. And Harper was still not very cool with going to that one area she does not like, mm-hmm. which is the what they set up as kind of like the outside of the ship, so you can feel how cool it was. It's all indoors, but that's an area she doesn't like. Did you get any weird vibes this trip? I know you did the other trip.
I didn't this trip, but I think the difference is there were so many people there
mm-hmm.
that it kind of, I think it kind of spreads it out, if that makes any sense.
I was wondering about that. I mean, is that something, you know, where is there, if there's so many more people around to, I guess, be affected,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's like if you have, here's an example. You're a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
You have a big cup of water or a big bowl of water. And you have a bunch of little tiny sponge pellets.
Yeah.
And let's say you, the water is the energy or the ghostly energy or the paranormal, mm-hmm. whatever you want to say. When there's, drop two or three sponges in there, those sponges are going to completely absorb as much of that water as they can take up.
Yeah.
But if you dump, 300 of those same sponge pellets in there, they're all going to kind of get some on there. They're probably not going to be fully absorbed, and some may not get any at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of...
I think I see what you're saying, and yes, that could be the case. I think what it is for me is there's more energy, just it's more of a fluid situation because there's so many other people and their energy too, so mm-hmm. it's less... direct. I felt less like I had a direct impact from what mm-hmm. I was seeing, but that can also work in the opposite way too, where mm-hmm. if you go someplace and it's a very emotional thing, the more people there, the more they're experiencing, you pick up on that too.
And you're picking up on living people's energy at that point.
Yes, but I didn't feel... It felt actually better having more people there mm-hmm. going through it. And, you know, honestly, none of them are feeling that emotionally tied to it because it was so long ago.
Sure.
And they're more like, oh, I want to go see Leo DiCaprio's, you know, outfit from the show.
Than like a life jacket from the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. It was a fun time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. We did not get a coal necklace, though.
No.
Do they still sell those? Have they run out of coal yet?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't believe this one actually does.
They don't
recovered artifacts.
No,
it's only stuff that was like recovered the day, like during the tragedy. It's not mm-hmm. not stuff from the ocean floor, which I believe the coal is
right.
one of those that were brought up.
Right.
So, anyway, let's go to Marlene, North Carolina. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Melanie. I'm calling from North Carolina. I have a lot of stories that I could tell today, but there's one in particular that sticks out. Looking forward to becoming an EPP, by the way. I've been listening to you guys for quite a while. I've been dealing with the paranormal all my life. I'm guessing I'm what's called a sensitive. I saw my first ghost or apparition when I was about 2 years old, and I've had experiences ever since. Most of the time I don't see them. If I do, they're usually shadow people, but I feel them more than anything. I could walk into a room or somebody's house and I can feel it immediately. That's something I've always been able to do. But the reason I was calling today, because there's one in particular story that sticks out. It even freaks me out. I've seen and heard some crazy things, but a couple years ago, I was at a friend's house, and I was staying in their guest bedroom, and the previous roommate had just moved out, and I was just staying there for a couple of days, and I think I was, like, just looking in the mirror, doing my makeup or something, and I kept feeling like something was watching me from the closet, and I get that feeling a lot, and usually there's something there, but... You know, it was really unsettling because it didn't feel like anything positive. It was definitely something negative. I was actually scared, and I don't get scared very often, but this time it really scared me. I don't know why, I just got really fearful, and so I tried to shrug it off, you know, just try to keep going on with what I was doing, and it just got stronger and stronger. So I decided to start taking pictures. And I took several pictures, and when I went back, definitely not expecting what I saw in this picture. You know, I've taken pictures before, of shadows, of orbs, you know, things that I have felt that I've gotten on film, but this was different. Even talking about it right now scares me. Okay, so like I said, I felt like something was watching me from the closet. Well, in the picture, it was a black robed figure. It looked like something out of a horror movie, honestly. It reminded me of the creature from Jeepers Creepers. I actually have a picture of it. I was considering sending it to you guys so you could see it. You can see its face. It's a very dark green. It has really big, pointy ears, horns. It had really sharp teeth. Like I said, it looks like something you would see out of a horror film, like something that would be in a nightmare. Like, it is literally the scariest thing I've ever seen, and it really freaked me out because I was like, you know what, that's what's attached to me. That's a really scary feeling because I've been told before that I have a negative entity attached to me. I haven't recently had anything happen. For a few years in my late 20s, it was really, really bad. I've noticed that when I'm not doing so well in my life, or, you know, there's some bad things that are happening, I notice that the negative activity definitely. So, but I've now taken steps to, you know, I sage my house, prayers, and I mean, I do a lot of things to try to prevent negative entities coming to me. But yeah, this thing was probably the scariest thing I've ever seen. And I know it was real because I felt it very intensely watching me from the closet. I don't think out of everything I've ever seen or felt, I had felt anything so very intense. And I don't know if it came from, you know, who lived there before, or if it was what was attached to me. I'm honestly scared to know because that's how scary this thing was. I mean, and then recently I had lost the picture. I had sent it to a couple of friends of mine when it happened, and they were like, wow, you know, that's, Melanie, that's crazy. Like, we've never seen anything like that, you know? And then a couple of people were like, oh, I don't really see what you see. And it's undeniable. Like, you cannot mistake. I mean, it's, you see this thing, absolutely can see it in this picture. It's kind of floating on the ceiling, looking down at me. So, yeah, that's my story for today, but I definitely have a ton of things that I can tell you, and I'm probably going to send you this picture, either, you know, through Facebook or whichever way is the best way, if you guys really want to see this picture. It's pretty crazy, so, but anyways, keep up the good work, and I look forward to hearing my story. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay, and do me a favor and send it to Tony and don't send it to me.
Why?
Because I can't do the pictures. I can't.
Send it to Jenny, too.
I can't watch scary movies or do pictures.
Send it to Jenny and caption the email, kittens playing with yarn.
No, don't do that. Oh, man.
Like, oh, look, I got kittens playing with yarn. Ah! It'd be great. Speaking of kittens playing with yarn, let's talk about this first.
Yeah, I don't think it's whatever's attached to her. And the reason I say that is this is the first instance where it's shown itself and she was kind of in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
I think she would know. I think it's something else.
Yeah, it is one of those where it kind of does push you in that direction,
mm-hmm.
if you will, because there's the way that it defines itself is not in the way that you would think it was just always there.
Mm-hmm.
So, kittens with yarn.
Okay.
Actually, it's not good. I was just going to say, we've talked about hummingbirds today. Let's talk about more nature.
What?
I saw foxes today.
Yes, you did.
I saw 3 foxes
mm-hmm.
hanging out playing cards.
Yeah.
It was actually, no. But one was like laying down in the, right down the road from our house, just laying in the road,
mm-hmm.
like napping, like a puppy. And our white dog Bear, kind of, if it was orange, would look like a fox.
Mm-hmm.
But and I was like, oh, look, what is up in the road? Oh, and then it stood up, and then its 2 other friends stood up from the ditch, and they all looked at me, and then they just took off. They go fast. So anywho, I just thought it was a cute scene. to relate to Kittens with Yarn, which will really be an email with a very scary ass picture in it.
Yeah, it will.
So send it away. Can't wait to see it. We'll see if they send it to you or me or what. Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com is my email. Want to get about yours?
No.
Just in case.
They know mine if they want to send it to me.
You're playing along at home. You probably already know it. Let's go over to another caller. Let's listen to Alexandra. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Alexandria, and I'm 21. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. And I believe I just tried to send in my story, but I dropped my phone and pressed a couple buttons trying to catch it, so I'm not sure if it went through or not. But anyways, I wanted to tell you about something that happened to me every night when I was younger. I grew up with my grandparents, and until I was about 13, we lived in New Braunfels, Texas. When we were living there, we had this really big German Shepherd, and his name was Durango. And he was a very protective dog. He would always be staring out the front window. Whenever anybody would come to the door, he would just sit there and growl at them. And, you know, he never hurt anybody, but he definitely made it known that he would if they tried anything. And he was very protective of me. Like, when I came home from school and my grandparents weren't home from work yet, he would be with me the entire time until they got home. And so let me tell you the layout of the house. My grandparents weren't sleeping in the same bedroom at the time. At the time, I didn't know why, but I could probably take a few guesses now. But so if you're looking at the house from a bird's eye view, my bedroom was in the top left corner. My grandmother's bedroom was in the top left corner. And in between us was the kitchen and the dining room. And on the bottom left corner was my grandfather's bedroom. The bottom right corner was the garage, and in between that was the living room. And from the living room to the dining room, it was open. And so it was just a little house, and the front door was in the middle of the living room wall on the front of the house, and the back door was just opposite in the dining room. And so, anyways, every night after we would go to bed, about 20 minutes after we'd go to bed, Durango would come in and check on all of us. And usually my door was closed, but not completely. So the door was touching the door frame, but if you pushed on it, it would open. And so every night he would come into each of our bedrooms after, like I said, about 20 minutes after we'd go to bed. And he would just sit there and look at us for a few minutes and, you know, to make sure we were okay and everything was good. And then he'd go to the next person's bedroom. And after he was done with all of us, he would sleep in the middle of the living room, in between the front door and the back door, and in between all the bedrooms. So, you know, I always knew he was just making sure we were okay. And then he was kind of, you know, being the guard dog for the house. And that was just how he was. You know, if you call him into the room, he wouldn't stay throughout the night. He would always end up in the living room. And so he did that every single night. And, you know, when he would push on my door to open it, he just pushed it open enough to where he could fit his head through, and he would look at me for a few minutes, and then he would leave. And when he would leave, the door would shut just a little bit. And so, yeah, I always knew he was just checking up on me. So he got old. I think he was probably about 8 or 9. And he started having, you know, typical German Shepherd hip problems. And I believe he had cancer also. So he got old and he was going downhill pretty quick. And we eventually had to put him down. I remember that day, you know, we had a big pickup truck and he couldn't even get in the back of it. And like I said, he was a really big dog, and it took both my dad and my grandfather to lift him up and put him in the back of the truck because he was so heavy. But anyways, that was a real bummer. It was a real loss. He was a great dog. But even, I don't remember if it happened that night, but it was pretty much right away Every night, you know, my grandmother still closed the door the same way, but every night my door would open, and it would open that little bit that it would, it was like he would stick his head through, and then it would close just a little bit that a few minutes later. It was just as if he was there doing it, but he wasn't there. And, you know, I was little, it was a few years that that would happen every night until we moved out. So I was younger, but it happened for a few years. Every single night, the door would open and then close just a little bit, like she walked away. And it was always, it always felt, you know, very comforting, like he was still there. I never really felt like he was gone. But yeah, so I thought I would tell you guys about that. I haven't heard very many animal stories on your guys' show. It's mostly people. But yeah, I, you know, 100% believe that was him, and he was just, you know, he wanted to still make sure that we were all okay. We also had a cat while we were living in that house. He was this really big black cat, and his name was Bear, and he was definitely the alpha male. We let him outside all the time, and he would come in at night, but he would very frequently get into fights. It wasn't uncommon for him to come home with, you know, blood on his face or a pretty big cut on him, and that's just how he was. He just got into a lot of fights, and he was always okay, and he never acted like it fazed him. But one day he came home, and he only had half of a tail. And so took him to the vet. They stitched up the end of the tail, and it was a couple inches long, but it was definitely a lot shorter than it used to be, and it didn't move like a usual cat tail would move. So whenever we had these lawn chairs that were cloth in our backyard, and you know, he would walk under the chairs, and after his tail got severed like that, it felt, you know, it was a very distinct feeling when he would walk under your chair. It was like a stump going across the bottom of it. And so anyways, he got old also, and he passed away. And we're all sitting outside one day, and my grandma was sitting in that cloth chair. And then all of a sudden she stood up, and she was like, "Oh my goodness, Bear just walked under my chair." And she said that she felt his tail go under her chair, like he was just walking under it. And so that was pretty cool, too. You know, we got both of those animals cremated, and we had them in a little urn in our living room. So they're very loved, but I definitely felt like they were always still there. And then, you know, eventually we moved out of the house and moved to Colorado. But, yeah, so I wanted to tell you that story. I've been listening to you guys for a while. I believe almost a year, but don't mark me on that. I got the idea to call in because I've been trying to convince my husband to send in a photo that he took while we were in St. Augustine, Florida, a couple weeks ago. He might send it in still, but it's incredible. I really want him to send it to you guys. But, yeah, I highly recommend you guys go there. It's awesome. The city's really cool. I've heard a couple people call in who have been there. And, you know, they talk about the two graveyards, but another little point that I thought you guys might like to know is that the whole city is basically built on top of graves. So, you know, wherever you're watching in St. Augustine, you're watching where somebody's been buried. And you can definitely feel that the city is really, it has a very heavy feel to it. And, you know, after learning that the whole city was built on top of where people have been buried, you know, it felt very uncomfortable. And it felt that way before, but now I knew why. And so as soon as you go there, it just feels a little bit off. But it's a really cool town. I suggest you guys go there, and anybody else too. It's awesome. But anyways, yeah, thank you guys for having your show. It's awesome to have a place where people can call in and, you know, realize that this stuff is normal and it happens all the time. You know, I've had a few experiences where you tell somebody a ghost story and they look at you like you're crazy, but this stuff is actually normal, and it happens all the time, and it happens to a lot of different people. And I'm glad you guys have this show where everybody can get together and tell their story. But yeah, so I hope you guys are having an awesome day. Thank you again.
Okay, so my thing that I thought about when she was talking about the dog peeking in on him was that the door would open and the dog would peek in, but then it would close. How does a dog do that? And it almost made me wonder if this wasn't something that was doing this all along and not the dog, and they assumed it was the dog because it continued after the dog died.
Sure. Maybe it was never the dog at all.
Right.
And then it just was finally them thinking. Well, I mean, the only, I could see it doing it if it was like, you know, like a screen door.
Mm-hmm.
And you peek in, it just, it peeks in, it goes back out, and the screen just shuts. It has like the latch on it.
But like a bedroom door.
But that, yeah, and bedroom doors don't normally have that.
No.
So that's what makes it a little more awkward.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that, that being the case, where it's always been there, not necessarily that animal that was doing it. How often do you think it is where you're in a home or a property or something, and it's someone else's ghost pet that's visiting you?
I don't know. You mean like you've taken over that property?
Mm-hmm.
I would think the ghost pet would go with the people, if possible.
If possible.
Meaning if the previous owner is still around.
Sure. But maybe they can't. I mean, it's like living people ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not always following their family.
Yeah.
When there's family around to haunt, for some reason they're in that same place. I bet that still does sometimes happen with pets too.
Sure.
It's interesting. Are you excited about the picture that she's going to send you?
No.
You got two in a row now.
Yeah. They're both going to go to you, Tony, at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Kittens. This one, she should put it, the headline is puppies. Puppies playing with hummingbirds. Okay. Puppies being attacked by hummingbirds. That's the headline right there.
Okay.
So, there you go. All right, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. If you like it, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes jam-packed every week with the best ghost stories that are written into us. It's great stuff there. Of course, exclusive video content and more, including the pictures that Jenny refuses to look at. It's too scary for Jenny. We should do an episode where it's like too scary for Jenny. Remember, like it was like too hot for TV, or you know, like stuff like that. Too scary for Jenny.
I don't think we could do that story-wise.
No, not with pictures, with video stuff.
Well, that'd be everything.
That's true. And we could have MC Hammer come and do a song for it. Too scary for Jenny. It doesn't rhyme though. It's not like too legit to quit. That's a little.
Uh-uh.
Gotta find some rhyme for that.
Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
An MC Hammer reference?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that?
Okay.
Okay. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online, because we're too legit to quit.